But not only did I get a chance to go and spend time with my family in North Carolina and have marvelous news about, you know, medical things and wonderful time together. We celebrated my one sister's birthday, but we also got to go to the beach, which is not something that we get to do as often as we'd like to. And, you know, it was beautiful being there. Although I will admit to you all, I was kind of surprised when I got back to our little part of Ohio and found that it was still in one piece. Not because I was gone, but because I kept getting weather warnings. As much as just even yesterday, you know, our phone is always tied to us, isn't it? And it was tied to the weather and what was going on around us. And, you know, we're getting, you know, severe thunderstorm warning, severe thunderstorm watch. And then we got tornado warning. You know, all of our phones are like whooping and going off. And it, as we're driving home, even the GPS program's like, severe weather event ahead. Do you want us to route you around it? Which was really surprising to us, because as we're driving in West Virginia, we're like, blue skies. And we were like, where's this severe weather event supposed to be? And we were like, no, don't route us around that bright blue sky. I think we can survive. And I think we got like 4 drops of rain on our car. It was like, oh, look, there's that rain cloud that, you know, it was panicking and freaking out about. What's going to happen? It was like, drip, drip, drip. Okay, we're done. And we got home, and you know, we could see that some stuff had been messed up on our deck. So clearly we had, you know, a little storm yesterday, and it must have blown pretty good. But, you know, it is kind of amazing nowadays in the 21st century. We're all so connected to knowing exactly what's happening in the world around us at all points and times, because our little electronic beeping boxes tell us all the stuff we need to know. I know while we were at the beach, I downloaded at least 3 different new apps to tell me how fast the wind was going to be blowing, another one to tell me when the tides were going to be, and we maybe downloaded another one for something. I don't even remember what it was for. So I could wake up in the morning and I could look at my little phone and be like, oh, you know, the winds are really calm today, so we can put those beach umbrellas out without worrying about it. Or, oh, it's going to be 88 degrees with a heat index of 105. This is a good day to, you know, maybe we're going to play a board game during the middle of the afternoon. The weather event, though, that kept coming up on my phone that just really kind of, it caught my attention, because I'm kind of a worrier about things like this. But it kept saying, severe riptide warning, you know, danger, 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 do not swim beyond. And I'm, you know, every day I'm going down to the kids, you know, there's a severe riptide warning today, you know, and we're going over the procedures. You know, if you get caught in a current and it's pulling you down, you know, don't try to swim against it. Try to angle in towards the shore and giving them all the instructions and, you know, sending them out there in the water. And, you know, they're kids, though. They've got their boogie boards and all of that youthful exuberance and energy and strength and vitality. And the ocean just looks like a really, really fun swimming pool. So, you know, here I am, the dad, who's got my phone. I'm like, severe riptide warnings. And the kids are like, water! And, you know, there's kind of 2 different worlds. So, you know, so the kids are running out and they're jumping in the surf. And I'm sitting up on the beach, in my beach chair, relaxing, watching the kids, making sure they don't get sucked out into the ocean. They didn't, by the way. We all came home. As far as I know, while we were there, nobody got sucked out into the ocean. But, to be honest, it does happen. To be honest, every year, people do get caught in those riptides and undertows. The ocean can be a dangerous place. You know, you get that beautiful, oh, look at the water feeling, and it's easy to forget those waters can just pull you right off your feet or knock you right down if you get in the wrong spot and you get the wrong current. And sometimes we have to be mindful of that, because as human beings, we do sort of say, I can handle it. You know, I'm a fine, you know, it's like what I'd said to Happy at one point. You know, you gotta be careful because there's a really big tide out. And she was like, Dad, I was on swim team this summer. And I'm like, that's exactly the attitude I don't want you to have. I'm like, but I don't want her to be afraid to go out in the ocean, and she had so much fun in the water. But that's our human nature, isn't it? Dad, I was on the swim team this summer. I can handle it. Sometimes we are a little oversure of what it is that we as human beings are capable of. A little too confident in dangerous and hazardous situations. We, as human beings, have a tendency to charge in sometimes where we're not quite ready to charge in. In today's gospel lesson, in particular, we are reminded that of the 12 disciples, St. Peter had this nasty habit of writing checks with his mouth that his actions could not cover. Peter was the one that had a tendency when somebody said, "Oh, hey, there's a dangerous riptide out there." Peter was the one that went, "I'm a great swimmer." You know, people like Peter are the ones that just sort of jump up and like, "I can do that. I can handle that. No problem." Jesus says to Peter, "Look, things are about to get bad." Peter says, "I will never, ever, 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 ever deny you." And Jesus is like, "I'm pretty sure you're going to do that 3 times before the alarm clock goes off in the morning." Jesus being arrested, Peter chopped somebody's ear off. Is he ready to go to war? I don't think so. Jesus comes walking to them on the water. All the rest of the disciples are like, "It's a ghost!" Peter's like, "Is that really you, Jesus?" He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Well, if it's you really, then tell me to walk on the water too." Jesus is like, "Okay, sure, fine, do it." Has Peter all over because he has this great, he's a great starter. You ever know somebody who's just a really great starter? It's the follow through that sometimes he's not so great at. It's the finishing part that's not his strength. Peter is a great starter. So he starts and he gets on his way and Jesus is coming towards the boat and Peter's like, "Hey, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm walking on the water. I'm walking on the waves. And the waves are really tall. And it's really windy. And they're breaking. How am I walking on the water?" And he begins to sing. Now, there's this great... you guys know that I get really excited about words. There's this great word in the original Greek. And it begins in the 31st verse. And we translate it immediately. And probably that's not the best translation. It says that Peter saw the wind and he was afraid and began to sink and he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately. But the word in Greek actually means at the very same moment. At that moment. Not like a couple of minutes from now, but at that moment, Jesus reaches out his hands and catches him. So what does that tell us about this story? This tells us that as Jesus is walking to the boat, he's coming towards the disciples. Peter, whose mouth gets him in trouble because he volunteers for stuff he should never volunteer for, and he lays claim to things he should never lay claim to, says, "I can do it if you tell me I can do it." And he gets out of the boat and he starts walking towards Jesus. And then that distraction happens. The waves curl around him. The wind blows against him. He begins to panic. And the part of the story we don't get to see is Jesus' response. Because we know that Jesus is walking towards the boat from the shore. But we also know the very next thing that's going to happen is the phrase, at that very same moment, Jesus reaches out his hands to grab hold of Peter. So what was Jesus doing while Peter was panicking? There's only one conceivable explanation. Jesus was running to Peter. While Peter was busy realizing that he was not able to handle this task that he'd taken on for himself, Jesus has already recognized it and responded to it and come to his rescue. I think that's amazing. I think that's telling. I think that's important. The other thing that I think is telling and amazing and important is this guy who has some impulse control, who does things on the spur of a moment. He just throws himself into this. is the guy that Jesus chooses to be the leader of the disciples. Because he does it with his heart. He might not consult his head first, but he has the faith in Jesus Christ buried deep in his heart. And it never dawns on him he can't do what his faith leads him to do. Because he's just going to leap out and do this thing. He wants more than anything else in the world to be that person that does the stuff. And as humans, as people, as Christians, all too often we're the other 11. All too often we're the folks sitting back in the boat going, I don't know it. That looks like something I can't do. That looks like something I wouldn't do. That looks like something I shouldn't do. That looks like something that's good for somebody else to do. I don't know who this somebody else is, but they do a lot of stuff in the church. Because as humans, we always assume that somebody else is going to do it. Somebody else must be doing great ministry, because we always assume that somebody else is going to do it. I haven't met somebody else, but I think why is that they're just too busy to meet new people. But here is Peter, who's just willing to dive in. He's willing to take a risk. He's willing to listen to God's voice and to go and to do, even when he's not sure how it's going to turn out. And yeah, sometimes he gets halfway through the task and falls rather firmly on his face. In fact, even if you read through the book of Acts, Peter's not done falling on his face. Even once he becomes the leader of the church, he still manages to firmly faceplant on more than one occasion. You know what? Every time Peter falls, Jesus has already come to his rescue. Christ has already come to his forgiveness. He's already come to lift him back up and say, "That was a good try, buddy. Let's do that again." Don't be afraid. Don't lose faith. I think that's the twin messages of the story of Jesus walking on the water and Peter sinking in with. Is the awareness that God already knows what we need before we need it, is already responding before we know that he's responding, and he's already saving us before we know we need saved. And the importance of being a person who allows their faith to wildly guide them into completely unrealistic situations, to go out of the boat, to do the thing that can't be done, to fall on your face with grace and get back up and go, "Well, that didn't work." But to always know that we put everything we have, our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, our time, our money, all of us, put ourselves wholly and completely out there on the line for our faith, and that God was there to support us through it. Amen.